Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rogue Rebels Podcast. I am Sal. I am your host today. I do not have members of my family with me because excuses. I mean, that's really at the bottom line of everything, right? Excuses. But I'm going to talk to you about comics today. So I brought a comic homie. I know homie loves comics, so let me just welcome Rashad Qasim.
Hey, that's me. You said my name right, too, by the way. That's awesome.
You know how I do that, dude? I just listen to the way you say it, and then I mimic it back to you.
Nice. That's called listening comprehension, I think.
Yeah.
I feel
like you don't need 4 years of acting school to do that. Like, I feel like you can get it off an audio cassette. Any of the kids know what the audio cassette is these days.
Damn, dude, you better be quiet. Big acting school doesn't want these secrets out, dude.
Rashad, I got it off your LP.
Oh, shit. By the way, your intro, it's very Monster Truck Rally announcer. I love it.
Do you like it? It's like Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Do we need this many Sundays?
That's a saber, saber, saber,
saber, saber, saber. I just like trying to like throw in like the family is so not metal that I try to get my little metal intro in.
Yeah,
I try to sneak it in as best
Mustafar.
I can.
Mustafa.
I'm just gonna hit everybody with a business real quick. Nope, I can't even scroll on my notes. Here we go. Nope, I still. Oh, there we go. Hey, everybody, hit us up at theroguerebels.com. I got, like, reviews. I'm reading books. I'm reading comics. There's podcasts there. Lizzie has posted, like, things that she cooked. We build costumes, man. Come on. It's a place to be.
It's a one-stop shop. It's a great time.
One-stop shop. We have a Facebook page. No, that's not going to work. Facebook page. Please like it. We are on Instagram at The Rogue Rebels. I'm going to skip over Twitter because it's a horrible place. And we are on Twitch. We're Rogue Rebels on Twitch. And I promise to you people that I am going to get my sim to go to Batuu this week.
Damn.
This is a vow. That's a vow that I have made because I've had the game since December and Rashad, I couldn't figure out how to get to Batuu.
Now, hang on a second. Are we saying this week isn't the time of recording or the time of release?
Let's give me a few more days from the time that this comes out.
Insider Batuu traveling.
On. Don't sell your GameStop just yet.
Oh, man. Hold the line, comrades.
Hold the line, man. They don't need another boat. We got Sims 4 with Batuu, right? Because you know your boy was like, dude, I miss Batuu. Like, I live 5 minutes from Batuu. I can't even go there. Damn. And even when it was open, I can't afford to go there.
Yeah.
So we picked up that Sims 4. And I got on Twitch and I signed and I updated our channel and everything. Your boy couldn't figure out how to get to Batuu. And I built a guy and he just lives in a normal house like a sucker.
He lives like in the suburbs of Batuu. Yeah,
it's like the suburbs and it's all whack. And I couldn't even figure out how to like customize him. So he has like normal hair and he sucks. So I finally figured out how to get to Batuu and I figured out how to like make my guy better. Mm-hmm. So like last week I went on Twitch and I like made my guy. And like now he's got dreads and he's got cool Batuu clothes.
Damn, virtual Sal.
Dude, it's awesome. And then I couldn't figure out how to get him to Batuu. So you can't live in Batuu, apparently. You have to like vacation to Batuu.
Ah, so he's like Batuu adjacent.
Yeah, but he's got Batuu clothes. So like I did better than the first time, Rashad.
Okay.
Like there's growth happening on the Rogue Rebels Twitch.
He looks like ready to go to Batuu.
He's ready for Batuu.
It's like those dudes who like buy like Tommy Bahama like 2 weeks before their Hawaiian vacation and wear it around town in Minnesota to like, you know, like just get the vibe. They're just trying to get in that vibe.
His bags are packed. He's got his ticket.
I got my go bag.
He just needs a little push just to get him to Batuu.
That's so funny.
So this week I figured it out. They were saying you need to go to your cell phone and you need to book a vacation. That's how you get your guy to Batuu.
Oh.
Because it's a destination realm or whatever the hell they called him instead of you can't live at Batuu, you have to vacation there.
It's really a state of mind.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to ascertain. So I am going this week. Okay. In fact, I gave up so hard that I started just play. What is that? That looks like candy.
Dude, it's dark chocolate.
Where did you get that?
I made it.
Wait.
Yeah, what? It too.
Wait, you made it?
Yeah.
It's surprisingly good.
Damn.
Here you go, bro.
No. Take it, son.
You sure?
Yeah.
Wait, did your son just call you bro?
He calls me bro. It's weird, right?
It's a little weird.
Well, I'm stuck it's in a little house weird.
That's true. You are stuck in the house with me. But get out for now, or be quiet. Okay, he made dark chocolate something. I think there's sprinkles in there. It's pretty good. It's not bad.
Wow.
I wish I had known that he made it before I put it in my mouth. But hey.
They're special dark chocolate, Dad.
Yeah.
What's up, bro? Try this chocolate, bro.
Yeah, he just walks in. He's like, yo, check this out, bro.
I'm an agent of chaos, bro.
Okay, well, that was a special Rogue Rebel appearance by Rogue Rebel Ezra. Anyway, I promise I'm going to get to Batuu, and I can't wait for everybody. Now you're crying? This jerk, dude, just waits till we record to start crying.
Oh, man.
Rashad.
Yes.
The internet is a scary place.
It's terrifying.
It is. But if you wanted people to find you, where would they do that?
If I wanted people to find me, I guess Twitter would be a good place to look. I am at iCossum there, but I am private. Don't be a shy person, and I don't know. Maybe we can interact sometime. Who knows?
Right. Maybe,
I also,
maybe.
I've kind of, well, not kind of. My best bud, Justin, and I used to run a podcast, Will Communication, where we actually talked about a lot of Star Wars comics.
Mm-hmm.
But due to reasons and just circumstances beyond our control, we just couldn't keep up with it anymore and have shuttered it. I thought I had taken it down from a lot of the podcatchers, but it might still be up somewhere. I don't know. But now I do work with my good friend Luke from the Bad Motivators and King Tom. We do a show every once in a while on the Bad Motivators Patreon show, Seismic Charges, where we talk about Star Wars comics there.
Awesome.
But that's been a minute, but I'm sure we'll pick that up very soon. And if Luke's listening to this, he's probably going to text me and give me shit for it. So there you go.
Look, Rashad, I don't know how to tell you this. Star Wars comics are not stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, it kind of feels like this Star Wars thing is here to stay.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's back, baby. I don't know how to tell you.
It's just been here. It's just been
it's
dormant.
It
like
is,
the lizard people that live in the core of the Earth, at Hollow Earth. It's always there. They're just waiting.
Yeah, it's like corruption in politics, dude. It ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. Like lamb and tuna fish.
Lamb and tuna fish. Spaghetti and meatball, maybe be a better
Yeah, you're more comfortable with that analogy? I don't know.
Oh, that's good times. All right. Today, we are going to talk about Jedi Fallen Order, Dark Temple, the 5-issue miniseries. You have a lot of details here that I did not write down, so please.
By a lot, that's like 3 details, but sure. The series was written by Matthew Rosenberg, who's, in the last few years, kind of become a more prolific writer for Marvel. I know he's taken over a lot of stuff. I think he was doing the newer Punisher series for a while, if he's not still doing it. I know him from a brief New Mutants run, Dead Souls, which was pretty cool. He also was one of the... There was a 3-writer team that did the reboot of Uncanny X-Men before the newest X-Men reboot, which is constantly getting rebooted. He's also done stuff for Star Wars. The art in Dark Temple was done by Paolo Villanelli. You would know him from the Star Wars series Bounty Hunter.
I would.
And he's done the Lando Double or Nothing, which was written by Rodney Barnes, which in my former life on Will Communication, I actually had the very good fortune to interview him on the show, Rodney. And we talked about the series and Paolo's art and stuff, and that was really cool. Mm-hmm. That was a very highlight for me. Paolo's also done art for X-Men Red, which is probably some of the best X-Men I've read in years, and that's counting all of the newer X-Men stuff that's out to date. And the cover... Now, this is something I miswrote this down in the notes. So, Marco Cicchetto is responsible for the cover, I believe, of just issue 1 of this.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Rogue Rebels listeners will know his artwork from the covers of Shattered Empire, Screaming Citadel, Anakin and Obi-Wan, Star Wars Allegiance. He's also done stuff for X-Men and stuff in the past, but he's like a very prolific artist.
And those are like dope covers.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's only issue one of Screaming Citadel. Oh, there's only one issue of Screaming Citadel. But like his, like, I like this. I don't know. I guess I feel like Villanelli has a very like 90s-ish style that I really, really like, because when I read comics, it was in the 90s. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But the covers are fire. His covers are fire.
Yeah. It's like, it's like the Shattered Empire stuff in 2015 with like when Star Wars was back, whatever. That was like iconic. Like that 4-issue run, I remember the art in that was incredible. The covers were incredible. Yeah. I think he even did the art in the interiors too, but I could be mistaken and usually am.
No, because they had the like very like painted looking, like I know the art inside was different. I feel like, you know, I'd remember the Leia issue very vividly.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No. But Dark Temple goes without saying, this is the companion comic book to the video game Jedi Fallen Order. Right. That was released end of 2019?
No, 2018 maybe? Maybe you're right.
Maybe, I think it's 2019.
It's got to be 2 years old, right?
Well.
Oh yeah, 2 years old would be 2019.
Yeah, I you know, I feel like I've lived a lifetime in the last year, so who knows?
Look, I'm not a time scientist, so, you know, look up the, you can Google this, people.
I'm not a fancy lawyer, I may just be a simple caveman. Yeah.
Look, one time, look, let me tell you a story. My wife walked into the bathroom door and broke her toe.
What?
I didn't know she broke her toe. I found her in the sink.
In the sink?
In the sink. She was up on the counter and in the sink, and she was yelling about how much her toe hurt. And then I looked at her toe, and it looked like a toe, and I was like, move it. And she moved it. And I was like, well, they always told me if you can move your toe, it's not broken. So let's go to Chinatown. So we went to Chinatown.
Oh my God.
And she kept saying her foot hurt. So she went to the doctor the next day. And I took her to the doctor, and she's in there for a while. Doctor calls me in, and doctor's like, her toe's broken in 2 places. Don't tell her her toe is not broken when it's broken.
Wow.
So now, before I tell my wife anything, my usual, like, go-to is like, look, I'm not a doctor, but, you know, should probably put some Vicks Vapor Rub on that.
Yeah.
Or whatever the thing is. I'm not a doctor, but blah-bitty-blah the rest of my sentence.
That does remind me of a story, actually. I think this was 2 World Cups ago, so this is maybe like 2012, if that was a World Cup year. I remember being with friends in Newport, and we were watching the Portugal-US game, I think at Mutt Lynch's or something in Newport, and before that there was a Korea game playing, and I have a friend who was very excited for the Korea game, celebrated a goal being scored, jumped up and down a lot, and then complained that his ankle hurt. He's like, something's wrong with my ankle. I don't know what's wrong with it. And I was like, you're probably fine. You're just being an idiot. You're jumping up and down in sandals. The girl at the
table.
As you do
in Newport.
Yeah. And the girl next to us at the table is like, oh, I'm a nurse. Let me look at it or something. She overheard him complaining about it like 100 times.
Right.
And then she's like, I think you tore But is it your ACL? No, that's not your ACL.
That's whatever, your knee. Your Achilles?
Your Achilles. You think your Achilles is torn. And all of us were like, no way. You just jumped up and down a couple times like an idiot. You're fine. You probably just like twisted it or sprained it. What does she know? And then he went to the doctor the next day. And he's like, oh yeah, you totally ruptured your Achilles, dude. It's gone.
Dude, I did that. I did that skateboarding up a hill.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Look, it was Father's Day. It had to be 2017. Mm-hmm. It was Father's Day. And I was like, man, I'm tired of like my kid.
Wait,
you know,
a second. I remember this.
Yes, you remember this?
You were out of commission for a really long time.
Yep.
You were
I was
in
out
crutches.
For a while. I went to Mexico, dude, to get surgery because America's healthcare ain't the greatest from what you heard.
Yeah.
Dude, it was Father's Day, and I was like, man, like, let's go. I want to spend some quality time with my kids. Let's, like, take them to a park and, like, skateboarding and all this. And, like, I was showing Axel how to bomb hills. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to skate back up it. And, like, it like I fell, like it tore and I just fell, but it like immediately went numb and I wasn't in a lot of pain, and I was like, it hurts when I like do it, but like it's okay otherwise.
It's terrifying.
That was Father's Day. I don't think I got surgery till September, because I kept waiting for it to heal.
Oh my god!
And it like wouldn't get better. And once it wouldn't get better is when I started to being like, well, I better go get this looked at by a actual doctor.
Now this is all coming back to me, because I remember seeing you in like West Hollywood, like hobbling from your car and be like, oh my god, I didn't realize it was this bad.
Yep. That's what it was. It was a torn Achilles. And that was right before I left to Mexico, dude. When I went to go do that show. Like the next week I went to Mexico, I got surgery, and then I was laid up in Mexico for 2 weeks.
Wow.
But I'll tell you what, dude. Hospital food in Mexico. Like, I had mango, dude. They hooked me up with some pozole. Like,
wow.
That dude, like, way... Like, I also got the Jello. So, like, let's not get it twisted. Like, they still had the basics. Right.
They still got the basics.
But I would say it was a nice, solid step up.
Well, I mean, the important thing is that you can walk again. So, that's good.
That's fair. Also, my ankle is now bulletproof. So, you know, if we're ever in a tight situation, just get behind my ankle.
Okay, sure.
You'll be all right, dude.
It's like literally the opposite of the Achilles story. Like, the only part of your body that's bulletproof is your ankle. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Just huddle real close.
Yeah, just everybody. Yeah, we're good.
Jeez. Fallen Order, though, is a video game. Yes. Still exists.
It does.
Have you played it?
I have.
It's pretty great.
Your boy got 100% trophies because I'm the best Jedi ever.
You 100%ed it?
I did.
Oh, man. I think, was it Zepho? Maybe not Zepho. Oh, it was Zepho. Zepho is like the mining one that's like really...
Zepho is the cold ice.
Well, yes.
Ice underneath.
That one with all the caverns under it, I was like, there's no way I'm coming back to 100% this. This is like, there's too much going on here.
That was the coolest one. Because that has the Crash Star Destroyer. And when you go through the Crash Star Destroyer, like once you have all your powers, you start to like unlock the story of what happened. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Like, they're, like, because, you know, you, because the guy has, like, the psychometry Quinlan Voss power. So, like, throughout the game, you can, like, touch things and sense the memory or the history of whatever happened. So every now and then you do it and you gain a little bit of experience and you get a little, like, scene or whatever. Sometimes you'd, like, touch a clone helmet and it'll be like, oh, no, execute order 66, or whatever. You know, like, and you'll see the little thing. But if you go on that Star Destroyer...
Oh, now I remember, because he has, like, the actual story flashback in that, right? Yeah, okay.
So, like, once you... Like, because you can't do the Star Destroyer when you get there. You have to come back when you have all your powers.
Right.
But, like, when you come back and you go through it, and, like, the story of that Jedi and whatever, like, on that Star Destroyer is dope. Like, putting it together through all the flashbacks as you work your way through.
Yeah, it's been a while. I got a Series X recently, like somewhat when it launched or whatever.
Okay.
And I downloaded Fallen Order as part of Game Pass because, like, I really want to come back and play this game again. It was, like, kind of the exact type of Star Wars game I've been wanting to play for a really long time.
Oh, so good.
And the story's so great.
Yeah.
It's great.
It is. It's beautiful. Like, and it's acted wonderfully. Like, all of, like, everything, dude. Like, cinematically done. Like, I really love that Saw Gerrera pops out.
Yeah, there's all, like, these, like, really tasteful Easter eggs, too.
Oh, it's so good, dude. Like, and his speech, dude, he's like, hope is not yet lost. Like, dude, I do that all day, son.
Yeah.
And my kids are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, the Jedi are not yet lost. Kashyyyk is not yet lost.
Have you come here
to kill
me? Bokalet. Bokalet.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, everything in that game, they did a really, really good job of, like the story, the cinematicness, and also the, like, the gameplay doesn't get boring.
So satisfying. It is so satisfying.
You have to pay attention. Like, you never get to the point, like I said, 100% of that game, so my guy is maxed out. Never can I walk into any fight and just be like, button mash.
Yeah, it is constantly.
You have to pay attention. You react, you like dodge, like all of those skills that you learn are utilized.
Yes.
And the combat system is so well done, dude. Like, and that's a thing that you don't see. And I don't imagine is easy. You know what I mean? To put something together like that. That's so,
yeah. So like, polished.
Yeah, it's so polished and it works so well.
It works well, unlike a certain other high profile game that may have been released recently that is a complete bungle disaster that I may or may not be playing because of a new bug that was introduced in this game that will, that will literally destroy my game save at the exact moment I am currently saved.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, definitely not talking about Cyberpunk. But, Fallen Order, the other thing too is I don't know if you've ever played like the other, I guess, Souls-like games like Dark Souls or Demon Souls or anything like that.
Never.
These games are punishing, like masochistically difficult. I've tried them before and like maybe if I really focused and it was the only game I was playing at a time, which never happens, I would like maybe get skilled enough to get far enough into it. But every time I played one of them, it makes me want to break a controller. And I'm not a controller breaker. I don't do that.
Right, but we all strive not to be.
Right, but Fallen Order, I felt like, really struck a solid balance of, like, yeah, there were times in this game where I was really frustrated, but it was, like, satisfying, and it never felt, like, impossible to get through sections. No matter how hard they were, I was like, I know I'm going to just get through this. I'm going to get through it. I'm not changing the difficulty just out of spite.
Nice. So, I've told this story before, but, like, when we first got the game on PS4... Like, for some reason, our version was really glitchy.
Or our PS4 was really glitchy. Yeah, I do remember you telling me that.
Like, Lizzie died in a cutscene, bro. Like, what? And I'm talking about a cutscene on a train in the first 15 minutes of the game.
Jeez.
Like, and at that point, she put it down. She never picked it up again.
Wow, that's a
bummer. Sir, she is gone. She's in college now. Like, that's it. Like, that was the end of her Fallen Order journey. Yeah. So, like, I kept picking it up, but I kept finding weird things. Like, on a, is it Zepho? Yeah, Zepho the Ice. Mm-hmm. Like, it, particularly what would be an issue for me is those, like, when you're going down those ice slides and stuff.
Yeah, the game constantly
would not load it fast enough, and I would just die because I would just fall into nothingness.
No.
Like, that's how bad it was.
Wow.
You know, like, it was pretty, pretty, and then I guess one update came through or whatever, but, like, it got frustrating to the point where I put the game down for a minute. But then when I finally picked it up again and it updated, like I never had an issue again. Whatever, really? Whatever happened or whatever
they fixed it.
Bugs was like it was all gone, and the game was beautiful from that day forward.
How
and now
long,
I have 100%.
How long was that period of time when you put it down and picked it back up?
I don't know, dude. But it had to be more than a month. I think like it was a while, dude. It was a while.
A high-profile game like that, they have to get it working for everybody, like, ASAP. If this was, like, an indie game, you'd probably needed to wait longer because they just don't have the manpower, but it's the...
Like, I feel like it could have been longer, but I really don't remember. But I just remember, like, picking it up and playing it and running into a few glitches and me being like, oh, that's kind of messed up, and, like, taking some funny pictures for my PlayStation little image save or whatever. And then Lizzie died, and then... I remember just going like, no, I'm good, dude. I don't need any more chocolate. Thank you.
This is delicious.
Damn. It looks messier.
Did the game spawn some chocolate?
Yeah, Axel just walked in with a spawn, full spawn of
chocolate. Axel just spawned some chocolate.
Hey, dude, take him with you, because if he's in here, he's just going to cry, this little jerk here, dog. Okay. Don't just leave. Okay, I'm just going to eat it. You talk.
Those ice slide things actually... That is kind of... There were a few times in the game where they were doing these really cinematic moments... that it felt like were constantly disrupted by my ineptitude most of the time during these like slides, like on Kashyyyk or in Zepho with the, where you have to slide down trunks and stuff. And you're like escaping things. I like one really bad turn and I have to do the whole thing again. It totally ruined the momentum of the cinematic sort of event. And it happened with me at the end. Spoiler warning, Darth Vader is at the end of the game. it's been a year. If you haven't, you know, whatever. At the end of the game, like I was like, oh man, this is going to be really cool. And I just kept getting wrecked. I'm like, oh.
Right.
Actually, wait, I think you're supposed to lose to Vader. It's the second sister you have to fight, I believe, is the one where I was getting
You're supposed
to
run from Vader.
Yeah. You don't fight Vader, you run.
I mean, you can, but it won't be very long.
Yeah. I kind of remember thinking, I'm sure I'm not supposed to beat him. Maybe I'll just try and get a couple swings in.
Right.
It's just like they can't possibly expect me to actually fight him, right?
Let me just get one thrust.
Yeah, exactly.
Good times. The game was so well done. Like I love the characters too.
Mm-hmm.
Like Marin and Cal and everybody.
Yeah, is Marin the Night Sister?
Yes.
Yes, I loved her.
She is so dope.
BD1.
Oh, he's adorable.
Not to be dramatic, but I would die for him.
Yeah. No, same, dude. And then you get to a point in the game, and like I'm playing the game, and I know what's happening. Like I know I'm playing a video game, and you get to this point, and there's like a flashback scene with BD1, and I'm like, are you about to make me cry over this damn droid right now? Yeah. And then they did, and I don't know if I'll forgive him.
It's devastating. He survives, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the whole crew survives.
Yeah, but like there's like a part where he's talking, like his whole thing is like you find him on, what is it, Bogano, like where the temple is or whatever, and he's like, he leads you around, and as you go, you sort of unlock more and more of his memories of his history.
Oh, yes, that's with right.
A hero of our comic book here, Eno Cordova.
Right.
And he's going through it, and the one that you unlock on Ilum is where he's like, I'm going to seal away your memories, and I'm going to, like, you know, somebody else will find you and take care of you. Like, and it's like this goodbye scene with Eno Cordova, but it's like a goodbye to the droid who's about to lose himself. And I don't know why. It's so damn sad. Like, I don't
even
know.
It's like a message in a bottle, but it's a droid. And like, it's his personality.
It's a beautiful thing, dude. Like, these games, like, the way that they're able to do some stuff like this, like, he's literally just so I can have a menu in the game, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
The reason somebody created this guy for a video game is so that I can have somebody tell me about where the enemy's weak spots are. Or give me a map.
He is an intentional design tool.
They made him so damn cute and so adorable and such a, like, integral part of the story. And he has, like, a funny, like, little personality, even though he just kind of walks around and whistles. Like, that you love him to death from the second you meet him.
And he perches on your shoulder like a damn parrot.
He's like a little backpack, man. Yeah, like, so he just hangs out.
He's probably my third favorite droid in all of the wars, I would say.
He is adorable.
Fourth, maybe.
If you catch up on Afrocomics, you know what? I'll keep that. But I was going to say, if you catch up on Afrocomics,
is there a droid?
There's a droid like him in there. And he's like just as, like, he's not as much in it. Like in the game, he's always there. The droid has a much smaller part in that first arc. But the current Afro comics do have a little adventure droid with them, and he is just as adorable for the scenes he's in.
That's awesome. Yeah, I will. Just know that. It's one of the, maybe it's my depression, I don't know. But like the idea of like,
hey, 2020.
Like I think I fell behind like a couple months, and a lot of this I'm gonna blame the X-Men. I'm a huge X-Men fan, and they did this whole reboot, and I was like on board. I was reading the reboot, and then as soon as the reboot initials 12 issues were done, it spawned like 6 or 7 ongoing miniseries.
Okay.
And it was hard to keep up with all of those on top of my other books. And like those, like, you know, comic books out, I don't know if you know this, comic books come out usually 1 issue a month.
Right.
But so like I was normally reading like 2 X-Men books, a couple Star Wars books, and whatever a month, right? And then it became like another 7 X-Men books, and you know these three, and it just kept adding up. It was like now there's 14, now there's 21. It's like now I'm like I am 10 issues deep behind on 7 different series just alone. So it's like the longer it goes, the more intimidating it is for me to chip away at it.
Yeah,
but I will get to them one day.
You might end up in like, because I always feel like with comic books, like Star Wars or otherwise, not that I read a lot of otherwise these days, is like, everything like feels better when it's an arc. I'm impatient.
Yeah.
When
I can just like binge through it.
Yeah. I go to the comic store and I pick up the comics the day they come out and I read them and I put the little code in on my phone and I get the digital copy from Marvel, right? Then when the arc is, when those 5 issues or 6 issues or whatever it is are done, I go back and I read the arc altogether.
Start to finish.
And that's usually like when the thing sort of comes together, you know, where I'm like, oh, okay, that was a lot better. Because a lot of the times I'm like, oh no, man, they just ended it right there?
Yeah.
As comic books are wont to do.
Right, and like a month between is like, oh, I kind of forgot this thing happened.
Yeah.
Or like, what is this they're talking about? Did I miss something? You know what I mean? It happens all the time.
Exactly.
But speaking of comic books.
Yes.
We read Dark Temple, which is a comic book about Fallen Order. Sal. Yes.
Fallen Order characters.
I'm going to pretend to be host here for a second.
Go ahead.
What did you think of Dark Temple? What are your thoughts? Look,
I enjoyed the comic, especially, like, for me, it was about the character. It was about Seer Junda and Eno Cordova, because those are the people that I really connected with and love in Jedi Fallen Order, the video game that we just talked about for whatever amount of time. But I will say on a reread, like, being a little bit more distant from it, I think I picked up some little different things, like in the theme of the story that I didn't catch the first time. But it is super enjoyable. I love the art. And this, like you said before, this is the guy that's doing the bounty hunter art right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that I'm getting a lot of, like, this is the same guy right now. He's drawing like Boba Fett, Dengar, and Baylert Valance.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun for me a little bit. I'm kind of enjoying the bounty hunter comics. They're not bad.
Yeah, I've got them. I just haven't read them because I'm not a real fan in any regard anymore. I am what they refer to as a fake fan.
Okay. Let's leave Twitter out of this. They're not allowed in our conversation.
That's fine.
It's okay. But yes, I enjoyed it quite a bit. And on a reread, I think I enjoyed it a little bit more being further out. Because I think I finished this before I finished the game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's kind of where I came in to this. I read, I think, the first three issues of this when they initially came out, and then just kind of dropped the ball and never came back. And I think when I first read those three, it was hard for me to get into it because I hadn't played the game yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have any context, and I kind of was like unsure where this is going. This felt like another, like, oh, Jedi Master is going to teach the Padawan a lesson in this weird situation story, which, you know, it is. But I just never, for whatever reason, came back to it. And then I played the game, loved the game.
Mm-hmm.
And having gone back to it for this podcast now, I was, like, honestly pretty surprised at how much I liked it. And I think a lot of that is because I'm so much more familiar with Cordova and with Seer and appreciate that relationship more based on the way it was told in Fallen Order and kind of what we knew.
Yeah.
And this didn't necessarily reveal a ton of like information necessarily. This is absolutely not necessary to read before you play Fallen Order.
Right.
But what I think it did was really service the characterization really well. And I think it added a level of depth to kind of why Seer is so drawn to this mission in Fallen Order to follow Cordova and push Cal in the mission.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really appreciated so much more this time around the relationship between Cordova and Seer.
Yeah.
And like the teacher and mentee role, the mentor mentee role.
And that's definitely like the most that you, especially if you are into the Fallen Order, if you played the game, like you hear about Cordova and you know about, and you know, he was Seer's master and you, you know, BD1 gives you all these videos about Cordova, but like, you don't really know Cordova and Seer and how they work together. And this definitely gives you that side of it. Cause this is like Seer is still the Padawan, you know, Cordova is still the master. But at the same time, you see that Cordova is very much the Cordova in the game that's like, well, hold on, I'm curious about this thing, and I would like to learn more. Would you like to know more?
You know? Seer is completely different in the game than she is here. In Dark Temple, she's really headstrong. She's very similar to Anakin. She's very instinctive, and she acts on sort of instinct without really... She leaps without really looking, and I feel like in Fallen Order, she's like very cautious, very meticulous, very strict. Right. You know, don't take chances, Cal, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of that, I think, is informed by her experiences that we kind of see glimpses of in this book, but also in the story we learn about what happens to her former apprentice. And I think it leaves a lot of scars for her.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Yeah, that is something that I'm surprised we didn't get to in Fallen Order, like Dark Temple. I mean, it's only five issues. You can't cover too much ground, but like they never touch on sort of the trauma that happens between her former apprentice, the second sister, and her.
It's like bookended in a weird way, right? So they're like most of the issues, they start in like quote unquote current day, which would be during the video game in theory. And like with the second sister coming back to this place and picking up these clues that Seer Junda and, you know, Cordova left a long time ago, right?
Right.
But then it flashes back to the time when Seer Junda and, you know, Cordova were tooling around being Jedi during the time of the Jedi, way before the Clone Wars and all that. So, like, you get, like, you kind of get a little bit of both. Of course, if you've played the video game, then you know who the second sister is.
Right.
And you have a lot more of that informing your reading, which I think is maybe a little bit more why, like I said, when I came back to it lately, I picked up on a lot more things as opposed to the first time I ran through.
Yeah. You know. Initially, when you all you knew is the villain is an Inquisitor, second sister, and when you're reading this book, you're kind of like, okay, so she's just hunting Jedi, I guess? Like, cool. Yeah, like, yeah. You have no connection. And to be perfectly honest, even going back and reading this, the way that I felt they handle the second sister, like, it's only until, like, the very last panel, basically, of the last issue
yes.
that she is really kind of tied to the game in any way. And I felt like it was so... It wasn't really necessary. I honestly feel like they probably could have cut that out completely, mm-hmm. or at least maybe bookended the entire series with it or something instead of right, having it in every right. issue. Because I will say, those scenes, they looked fantastic. It's very cool. She's mm-hmm. incredibly menacing. Just from an action movie sort of, or action scene point of view, like, they're fantastic. But mm-hmm. they don't really do much as far as contributing weight to a story.
Right, right, right.
In like, my opinion.
Like, those parts only get better if you play the game.
100%.
Like, if you know where they're going, then at that last panel, you're like, oh
yeah, because then you know
to Bogano,
or and you know exactly in yeah. the game what happens in that scene. Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't play the game, then you're just like, oh, they're on their tail, or you yeah. know, like the whole time.
Oh boy.
It's just a thing, you know. And it's like cool, and she has a cool helmet. And of course, the art is amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is another thing. The art is really fantastic throughout most of the series.
Yeah, I do enjoy this guy's art. Mm-hmm. Oh no, did my pictures come in all out of order? That's not good. Well, those notes are messed up.
I thought that was intentional.
It wasn't.
I was like, we're just going to hit on some highlights here.
Yeah, okay. So I'll just try to remember things. So like when the comic kind of starts, and I guess like this is the first thing that I noticed. The comic starts off and it's like Seer and Ino Cordova, and they're like trying to resolve a dispute between Trandoshans and some monks.
Mm-hmm.
And Seer's like, the Trandoshans are all aggro. And Seer's being like headstrong with them. And mm-hmm. Ino's like, let me go talk to these guys and see what's up. Seer ends up starting a fight, and they like, she fights the Trandoshans and beats them all. And then Ino comes out and he's like, oh, good news. These guys have admitted to stealing their blah, blah, blah. Like, so like we're going to resolve this thing pretty easily. And then she's like, oh, we just fought. And it's like, well, they were disrespected because of the way you were talking to blah, blah, blah. And so like the kind of little note there, like, I want to say it's like nothing is what it seems, because mm-hmm. that like it repeats itself over and over. Because like later when we get to the Falari and the corporation, like you don't know who's being on the up and up and who's being shady.
Right.
Like, but that's the thing. Like, she's kind of judging things by their cover at the beginning.
Yeah.
She's beating up these Trandoshans because they're like being aggro.
Yeah.
And it turns out they were the guys that got robbed.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the opening scene is the metaphor for the entire series, which is like, can't take... I think that's a Jedi... Hang on a second. The dog... the dog is digging into the carpet for some reason.
Awesome.
Anyway, I think the opening scene is a metaphor for kind of the overall story here in the conflict between... I think it's the Da Corporation
yes.
and the Falari.
Falari.
And
yeah.
they... It's you can't take things at surface level, and I think that's what Cordova is trying to, hey, I think that is what Cordova is trying to teach Seer, is like, you can't really judge in a situation until you really truly understand yeah. an entire context around a situation. Don't be so quick to act, and, you know, don't entrench or, I'm sorry, I think what he's trying to teach her is, because she is so headstrong and so instinct driven, he's trying to teach her, like, let them guide you, but don't always let them steer you or
yeah,
like take
yeah.
over. You know what I mean? Like, use them, but don't take that as gospel.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, and that was a real, like, I did not pick up on that in the first reading. I was just like, oh, that's funny. The Trandoshans are the good guys.
Yeah,
ha ha. Or whatever, you know, like, oh, that's cute. And then she gets like kind of reamed by the council, but
mm-hmm.
she's also very like short with them. Like,
yeah.
Like, she's at the council, and she's like, well, am I going to be in trouble? Am I getting kicked out or what? And they're like, no, we have reservations. And she, like, they kind of go back and forth until Yoda is like, with all due respect, or something like that,
yeah.
back to her. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, you're not just here to get detention every time you're in this room. You know that, right? Yeah. We're here to teach you lessons.
But I really like, and this shows up here and also in, like, Dooku Jedi Lost, like, this pre-Clone Wars Jedi that are living in a time of peace. Mm-hmm. Like, it's interesting to see a lot of their stories kind of unfold, because you're finding a little bit of this, like, mediation and, like, what these Jedi are actually doing. It's a little more, like, explicit in Dooku. Like, at one point, there's a... This is completely, like, sidetracked, but at one point, like, Dooku goes with a Jedi delegation to a planet for a such-and-such festival, and they're giving, like, a lightsaber demonstration. Mm-hmm. And the people are talking about, like, oh, like, that's so cool, like, how they carry their ceremonial weapons. Because clearly in this time, like, they don't use them. Like, they're just so, right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no Jedi has had to fight any blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So, like, this a little bit is, like, they are going to these planets that want to join the Republic or are part of the, like, that are having these conflicts to help resolve. It's a little bit episode one.
Yeah, they're mediators. You know?
Yeah. But I like that Jedi during peacetime energy.
Yeah, that was the thing I took away, too, is... We don't really, in the whole series, and this is, I mean, it's obviously very clear in Fallen Order that Cordova is, like, really into sort of archaeology and history and studying kind of ancient cultures, and mm-hmm. he's not, like, Indiana Jones in the sense that, like, he's, you know, swashbuckling, but
he's a little bit of a bookworm.
Yeah, he's a bookworm, and mm-hmm. that's not really something we get to see a lot in... Clone Star Wars. Wars and Clone Wars, there's the old guy with the cane lightsaber. I forget his name.
You called me out right now. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
It's the one that Ahsoka's like, oh, I have to go hang out with
the
librarian.
He's got a white saber. It's in a cane.
Yeah, but he turns out to be, like, pretty badass. But he just likes to read. And I think that's kind of interesting. Cordova's, like, it's very whimsical sometimes. He's like, I'm going to need you to stay outside this temple because I want to go read some stuff.
Yeah, he's very, like, deliberate about his stuff sometimes, to where he's like, okay, you got everything cool? Cool, I'm going to go check this temple out real quick.
Yeah, man. It's like, oh, well, you won't believe this.
Like, which also, once you play into the video game, gets a little more into the weeds, as to where she's like, oh, he's, like, such a scholar. And he was such a, like, you get into that relationship, how she kind of, like, sometimes resented that about him. Like, she felt like he wasn't teaching her the things because he was too busy off on his own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I really dig that, like, that was given a little bit more depth here.
Yes, absolutely.
And also that opposing mindset, like, she's so headstrong and so brash and so, I don't want to say, like, I think it's the wrong word to say judgmental, because, like,
I think she's quick to judgment and yeah, like, sticks to those convictions really strongly.
It feels wrong, but she did beat up a bunch of Trandoshans.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Trandoshans don't have the best rep, and I think that informed her. She had internal bias. She has a lot of internal bias. So it informs everything she does.
Yeah, so that's one thing that I thought was, like, really interesting that they, like, came back to. Because, like you said, it's almost a metaphor for the rest of the series, in which, you know, eventually she ends up meeting with the Falari. Like, they go to this planet... And there's a conflict happening between the government, like the ruling government, and this small region / sect of people that don't recognize that government and have been their own nation / culture for a while, right?
Right. It basically, like, this planet, all except one sort of tribal nation. It's
right.
I don't
region,
know if tribal's
area,
the right word.
Yeah.
Yeah. This particular sect of the planet did not want to join the Republic, but the rest of the planet did. So they don't... They're basically almost like... It's kind of similar, I think, to... I'm not really educated in this, so I don't want to make that comparison. Right, but I feel like it's like they're almost like on a reservation, but it's independently controlled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they don't get the benefits, quote-unquote, of the Republic.
I mean, I think the things that we do understand in the story is like... The government wants their cooperation so that they can be part of the Republic.
Correct.
And they don't want to cooperate, right?
They, like, just want to be left alone.
They want to be left alone. They want to remain their sovereign. They want their sovereignty to remain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a crazy ancient temple that the corporation
wants to go mine for educational purposes.
Yeah. And also piques Eno Cordova's interest.
Right, because he's like, ooh, temple, hieroglyphs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, like, they first get to the planet, and they, like, The corporation is there to, like, I like the, I can't remember the guy's name. What's the guy? Like, the leader of the corporation?
Something Da, because he's the founder of it. He's like the Elon Musk-y
He's very, dude. Like, I don't know, like, what the word is, but he's like, yeah, well, I'm just going to bring you just to show you what it is. You know, why are you taking us in this big armored vehicle? Because you never know what's going to happen. Like, well, you know, just so you know, bringing warriors from an outside Republic delegation in an armored vehicle to the thing is not a really good symbol. Are you coming with us? Nah, I think they're tired of trying to negotiate with me, so...
Yeah, like, I'm literally just sending you in a tank.
It's like a weird thing, but also his, like... It's not... Like, it is kind of nonchalant, but, like, his real attitude, like, as throughout the story, he kind of keeps that attitude, even as things start to pop off.
Yeah, he's really aloof.
Yeah, it's, like, such a weird thing. Like,
I don't know, you run a company that's, like, in an armed conflict right now with a group of people that are trying to kill you. What are you taking, and can I get some?
Yeah, it's.
Do I need a prescription?
It's funny. It's interesting. So they start, like, they go, they're riding on the transport to the place, and, like, they get attacked, right? But they, like, step outside, and they're, the Jedi are trying to figure things out, and they go outside, and there's, like, this red mist around the planet, because it rains poison, weird snowflakes that are red, which makes for awesome art.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Mustafar we see in the opening of Rise of Skywalker with, like, elements of Krayt. If Krayt had, like, a goth phase, this is kind of what this planet looks like.
Fair. Yeah. I like it. So there's, like, an explosion, and she gets captured, and she presumes Eno's dead.
Mm-hmm.
They tell her that everybody else is killed. But what also happens is there's this droid. When she wakes up, she's, like, in a prison cell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she, like, the droid's like, oh, good to see you're awake, blah, blah, blah. And she, like, calls her lightsaber to her immediately and, like, cuts the doors open and, like, flies out. And then everybody comes out with weapons. And she's like, aha, you guys tried to take me prisoner. And she's like, no, the people are like,
Did you try opening the door? It's open.
Yeah, the door was open, y'all. Like, we just told him to tell us when you woke up to explain the situation, but you didn't even listen to the droid.
Yeah, and that droid, by the way, N3LO, I don't want to take your thunder if you're going to go for it.
Go for it, dude.
I was going to say, he's really funny. He has these incredibly deadpan funny lines throughout. It kind of reminds me of K2SO, and the first moment here is really funny because he says something like, he's screaming back to the group like, she's not dead, and she's not happy.
There's another time later where they're, like, sneaking around, and she's like, okay, we have to be sneaky. And he's like, I don't have the ability to do that. And then later they're, like, sneaking out, and she's like, act casual. And he's like, I have only one way of acting.
Yeah. Or, like, forget I said anything. She's like, you're going to have to deprogram that from my memory. I literally cannot forget anything.
I cannot forget.
He has another line too, where they're, like, meeting, the two forces meet or whatever in like a truce, and it's like, I don't know what a trap feels like, but it appears stupid.
Oh, this is it too. I have it here. Just act casual. I have only one way of acting. And then they get caught, and the people are like, stop them. And she's like, oh man. And he's like, is this because I was not casual enough?
He's like, great.
There's great. That's beautiful writing. That's hilarious. So yeah, like, she gets caught by the Falari, basically. And so they tell her that, like, look, we're just trying to protect our land, and we've been here for centuries. We have no interest in growing beyond, like, all this stuff. The government wants to take what we have and to plunder our resources and such. And there's also a temple. Let me show you the temple. And there's a temple.
It's pretty cool looking temple. Kind of looks like the Pagano temple a little bit.
It's a Zepho temple.
Yeah.
So it's like that ties into the game if you played the game, you know, so you're like, oh, wow. And then, like, this temple has been here centuries before any of us. Like, nobody, we don't know the history of this temple, but for generations we have protected it. And so, like, she ends up being on that side of, like, trying to help the Falari protect their things. So, like, I guess, like, what does she do? She, like, kind of sneaks back into town. That's where she's trying to sneak with the droid. And, like,
because she's trying to contact the Jedi Council. Right.
And they have no way of contacting people. So she sneaks back to town to where they're having, like, a town council meeting or whatever, where the guy's like, look, they attacked my people and they killed the Jedi, so we should just send in a battalion or whatever, right? You know, like, and then she busts in and she's like, it wasn't them who attacked us, because like they're saying that they attacked themselves to like that way they could start a war with the presumption of,
you know, yeah, like, dude, some real 4D chess going on here.
There's a lot of like smoke and mirrors of like all this stuff. And it eventually does resolve into like, it looks like it was always the Fallari. And, yeah. But also people that were like when it's resolved, I think the dude says something to like, look, it's people that have been wanting to start a war since before you or I even heard of the planet.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, like, what he said was like, the people who attacked him wasn't him. It was people he hired.
Right.
But he always hires the Fallari, and they were looking to kind of light the powder keg. So yeah. That's why it was like a confusing, like, who attacked who, and then that's how the war started, because they were just looking for a fight.
It's like a little bit of a mystery, but then like once it's resolved, and like the first time I read it, I didn't quite like put it all together, and I was like, oh, okay, this is just a bunch of like, aha, you, aha, you.
Yeah.
But then it kind of like, I think it really goes back to that Trandoshan thing of like, you can't really trust, like that nothing is what it seems. Like these people are telling you one thing, but they're doing another thing, and like, it does end up like that girl in charge of the Fallari who's like, towards the end, she's like trying to kill the Jedi.
Yeah. Like, is that Nerali, I think her name is?
Yes. Okay. I think you're right. That sounds right. You sound like a smart Star Wars guy.
I wrote it down. I took notes.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
The temple is Zepho. Zepho are the bomb. Like, dude, like those Zepho temples that you get to actually explore in Jedi Fallen Order.
Super cool.
It's like, I love like that architect, like, and like, look, dude, don't get me started on Jedi Fallen Order's photo mode, because I've taken a lot of pictures that if I ever decide to sit down for a week and Photoshop myself into cool Jedi temples, like, your boy's going to be hanging out in Zepho temples for like a good 52 weeks.
I want to see you in that big like tower one on Ilum. That one's really cool.
Like, and it, like the one on Zepho when you come out of the temple on top and you have that like view of the like mountains with the snow, like that one's good.
Yeah.
Like even just Bogano with that like that double forked kind of poking out of the floor, like, mm-hmm. Oh god, like the one thing that they did really good in Jedi Fallen Order is they know exactly where you are and where the camera is. And like they made it beautiful. Every time you're anywhere in that game, like you hit up cliffs or the edge of something, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, this is a postcard right here, son."
It's a very pretty game, and the camera works very well. Yeah. But is this the first encounter Cordova has with the Zepho? Is this comic?
So I don't think so, because, well, I don't know. Maybe you're right, because it seems like in the comic, she talks about how he dragged her around searching for the Zepho stuff, right? And this is like Zepho stuff while she was a Padawan. But it also seems like he went and did a lot of that stuff afterwards. When she became a knight, like he was like, he sort of kept going on this path. So I think like a lot of the locations like in the game are things that he went on to. So maybe you're right. Like this might've been like the first one that he found, and, you know, after deciphering and studying this stuff, he was able to uncover the others with clues or something. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wonder though, like, I don't know, for some reason in the comic, I just had this general sense of like, he just liked exploring, and then he found the Zepho stuff on this planet, and then that drove him to seek it out everywhere else.
I mean, that's like, you know, maybe Wikipedia has an answer. I don't know, man. But like, I think you're like, that sounds right. Like this is what cracked the seal. And then he was able to, cause like all the other stuff, like all those messages with BD-1 and all that stuff, like I think happens when she's already a knight. Right.
Yeah. It's after this game. Yeah. I think, which by the way, I want to, the knight ceremony at the end of this, I don't remember. And you're the right person to ask. I remember being confused, and I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm doing this with Sal, because I have no idea. Was it in... I do remember there was a knighting ceremony. I think it was in Clone Wars, maybe, or it was in Rebels, and I think it had to do with Kanan, where we got to see like a really cool knighting ceremony. Maybe it was with Ezra.
Okay.
Am I remembering Rebels, any of
this? There is a knighting ceremony when they're in the temple on Lothal.
Uh-huh.
He fights like a temple guard, and the Temple Guard reveals itself to be
yes.
like the Inquisitor.
Right.
And he's like, you will become what I once was, you know, a knight of the Jedi Order by the will mm-hmm. of the council, by the, you know, like, and he knights him. In Clone Wars, we never really get that. But in that animated, like, Tartovsky.
Yes,
like,
shorts, I do remember Anakin's you get knighting Anakin's, ceremony, like, which is knighting ceremony. Sick.
Yeah.
That was so dope.
So, yeah, we never get that in the Clone War, in the Clone Wars animated series that we all watch today, you know?
Yeah, so that was why I brought it up, because Seer's, like, quote-unquote ceremony, I don't know if we see it or not, but it seems like they're just like, yeah, kneel down, stand up, cool, you're a knight. Sick.
Yeah, it's a little bit less of the, like...
No pomp and circumstance.
Circumstances, right? Yeah. Yeah. But it's also, like, over the thing, but also, like, right after that, like, it does, like, kind of, if it was a movie, it would be an editing thing. Like, the voices would go over into the next scene, and she's mm-hmm. walking with her Jedi clothes through the library.
Yes.
Where Eno Cordova's like, oh, yeah, I could just study now.
Yeah. Like, sick.
This is dope. Yeah, good job being a Jedi.
Yeah. Have fun. Remember what I taught you. Play mm-hmm. nice with others.
It was cool.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Don't I'm gonna go judge read this Trandoshans, one. Y'all. Yeah. Sometimes they're nice.
Yeah. Open your mind, dude.
Open your mind.
Let go of your bias.
It's good stuff. Like, I just like the interaction between them two,
mm-hmm.
and then just like the circumstances of the planet that are so much of a back and forth. Because, like, really, like, even us as the reader don't know who the f- to trust until the last issue.
Yeah, when they explicitly just spell it out for us.
Yeah,
but I love that whole thing. It's such a nice, I think, twist to see, like, when it's revealed that Cordova is alive and yeah. he's with the Daw Company, and she's like, no, but you don't understand what they're doing. And it seems like he's being really dismissive of her
right.
up until they get to this part where he's like, oh, no, I mean, I knew you were going to be diehard with them, so I was going to be diehard with the other company so that we could get them to trust each other so that I can make this peace treaty so that I can go into this temple.
And I love how she's like, the peace won't last. And he's like, yeah. long enough for me to get in this temple, though.
Yeah. 2 days, yeah. that's all I need.
That's all you need, son. Give me 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some really silly, silly good times with that. Like, but it's almost like a little irresponsible. Like, as a Jedi Master, I'm like, come on, dude. Like, you're really just trying to get in this temple this whole time?
It really...
like, there are people's lives in danger here,
It
son.
Is really sort of like... Qui-Gon-esque in the way where he's like, you know, this probably isn't like the quote-unquote right thing to do, but there's a deeper meaning here if we search for it. But okay. Yeah, you know, this is going to be kind of weird, but we're going to go for it.
To me, it almost hits the Qui-Gon note of like, well, I didn't exactly come here to free slaves.
Yeah, he's defiant in a way. Yeah.
Well, look, I got something to do.
Yeah.
And it's exploring.
Yeah. Reading books.
Reading books. So, like, the art is really, really good in the issues. Mm-hmm. The story is very, very interesting. And like I said, it keeps you guessing.
Because
mm-hmm. at one point, you know, like, if you're following her story and you're like, yeah, these Daw Corporation are jerks. And then you start, like, that dude is so nonchalant and, like, I don't even know how to describe him. But he's, like, he's almost likable, the, like, leader of the Daw Corporation.
He's
so when he
charming.
Says stuff, like, you end up being like, well, you don't seem like such a bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think it's pretty clear from the outset that the story is intentionally trying to make you distrust the Daw Corporation and sort of trust the Filar?
Yeah, Filari.
Filari. And I think just inherently I knew, like, there's going to be a twist. You don't know who to trust. But to the story's credit, it was like I didn't know how it was going to unfold. Like, it was, and I think they did it. Rosenberg did it in a really interesting way with how I think the way it unfolds and then what the ultimate goal of the Filari is, that's like protect, like, everybody's kind of after this thing, and that's right. kind of the real crux of the real cause of the conflict is this temple, right? That is the main reason they're fighting, is because Daw wants to get in there to, you know, explore, and the Filari are like, well, it belongs to no one, but it's on our land, and we don't want you to, you know,
right.
touch a sacred place. When in reality, it's full of these orbs that provide a ton of energy, and both of them want them for their right. own means.
It's full of Zepho technology.
Mm-hmm.
And also, but there are like some really, really cool, like almost like iconic, like Star Wars has a lot of these iconic moments. And there's one part where like, you know, the Dog Corporation shows up with their army and Asir Junda is like sitting there on the steps and she's like, you will not trespass on the, on our land or something. Like she says, this is not your land. And that's such a like thing that is like real world applicable.
Yes.
That like, I don't know. It's just such a beautiful thing. And in like, in this case, like, I don't want to say she's mistaken, but like, you know, things are like the people who have told her these things are kind of manipulating her. But at the same time, like there's some like, that's just a, such a beautiful iconic moment. And the art is so like, she's sitting on the temple. The sun is shining out from back. Like,
yeah,
the art is dope, dude.
And every time we see the temple, it's gorgeous. Like you have a page, a couple pages down here where she first sees it and the sun is shining on it. And the Zepho sort of temple guard figures are here. That's the other thing. The coloring in this really, it's super vibrant. I think the dichotomy of like kind of the red mist and the dark rocks, plus all the action sequences, it just, it really pops off the page.
Then there's like a big battle. Eventually the Jedi come and start rescuing them, but then they want to trap the Jedi there. And the Jedi are like, well, let's show them what happens when we were trapped.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe we haven't even touched on this. We get, not only do we get an Ithorian Jedi, rest in peace, rest in power. We get a Celestian Jedi. I don't think I've ever seen a Celestian Jedi
before. I'm going to tell you something I always think of. Whenever I see Jedi that I don't recognize soon before the movies, I start to worry.
Yeah.
And like three panels later, that Ithorian Jedi is like,
The Wilhelm scream out of this, yeet himself out of this temple real quick.
Let's escape from this temple. Oh no, you didn't make it.
Just really excited for the Celestian Jedi though. They're out there.
Yeah, they out there and they live in large. Dude, like, I mean, if you're about, okay, like, this is going to be teeny tiny. I'm going to give you a little tiny bit of High Republic Light of the Jedi stuff.
Okay.
And I hope you don't mind, and I hope listeners don't mind. There's a Wookiee Jedi by the name of Buriaga, and he is a goddamn treasure. He is empathetic, and, like, there's these weird spots in the book, and it's, like, something that we take for granted in the movies. Like, in the movies, our Wookiee is, like, Chewie, right? And he's in movies, and, like, he talks, and Han is like, yeah, you got that right. But, like, we don't understand what he's saying. Nobody else understands what he's saying. You know what I mean? Like, in the book, they touch on that in such a weird, beautiful way. It's like he's kind of, like, at this, he's at, like, a gathering, right? And he's, like, people are coming up to introduce themselves to him because they know he's a Jedi. And he, like, he's like, oh, you know, thank you very much. Like, yeah, it's really nice to meet you guys. But they don't understand him. And he's like, it's from his point of view. And he's like, oh yeah, you know, I saw that, you know, like they don't, of course they don't understand me. You know, it is what it is. I'll just nod and smile. Like, and he feels like isolated, but he's like so kind and empathetic that he can feel what the people are feeling. Like, but he's like misunderstood because like he can't express himself as they can. Does that make any sense?
Like, they can't understand him and he but he can understand. Oh my God, that is,
it's, I don't even know how to tell you that other than it's beautiful.
Yeah, like, it's a little heartbreaking.
But it is, dude, but it is sweet. Adorable. Like, in context, like, it's heartbreaking when we think about it now. If you read the actual book, you're going to text me right afterwards.
Yeah.
And you're going to text me, you're going to go, I get it.
So he's just like, he's empathetic. Like, he knows they mean well. And he's just like, this kind of
like,
sucks,
he understands,
like, they're not trying to be mean. They're
like,
not,
he understands basic or whatever they're speaking. Like, he understands everybody. But they don't understand him, and he knows that. Like, and so he's sort of like he goes into every conversation open and willing, and then he sees the look on their faces because he's seen it all his life, of like, oh, okay, thank you, you know, like, and he just sort of turns into like nods and smiles after that, you know, and it's like it's like heartbreaking, but it's also beautiful because he's like. In the High Republic, they sort of all have like Jedi specialties, right? Like their powers are so different and unique, and they all use the Force in this different, unique way. I'm sure you've heard on all the stuff. And his quote unquote power is like empathy. Like he connects with other living beings more than the other Jedi. So like even though they'd understand what he's saying, he understands what they're saying, but he also understands like what they're feeling. He sees like what they're going through. Like he can pick the depressed person out of a crowd. Like he, like, you know what I mean? Like he connects to people even though he knows that they can't connect to him.
Oh, that's very sweet.
It's, I don't know how to describe it. It's a little bit heartbreaking, but a little bit beautiful.
Huh. Well, you're really selling me on reading this book, like right now.
I'm just saying. He's awesome.
It sounds great.
And
I mean, everybody's been talking about it. I know Justin wants to talk to me about it, and I just haven't gotten around to doing
we
this.
We all want a hug from this Wookiee.
Oh, man.
You know, that's all I can say.
We love a good Wookiee.
We do. I don't know. Do you want to close it up on this Dark Temple?
Yeah, I'm just going through my notes to see if there's anything I had not covered. I think we hit a lot of it, actually. Oh, I did have one completely just, this is a nonsensical thing. There is a white, hairy alien that's Moroth. With the Fulari. Moroth.
It's not Moroth. That's his name.
It's not. What are those aliens called?
I have no idea.
Because I recognize him. Like, he's a Rogue One alien. Yeah. Sal's going to know what this is.
His name in Rogue One is Moroth.
He's Moroth,
I don't know what the species is called because I'm a bad Star Wars fan.
That's fine. We all are, really. Who is a good Star Wars
Look,
fan?
Sorry. Yeah. I failed you.
I have failed you.
I'm going to type Moroth and see what happens. He's a Gygarin.
A Gygarin. That's so cool.
That's pretty cool.
He's like Falcor. Falcor had a gun and a breathing apparatus.
Falcor had legs and heavy weaponry?
Yeah. And maybe not creepy. Have you seen that recently? Falcor's a little...
Okay, dude, I watch creepy, it every dude. Christmas with the family.
I love
with
children.
Hot chocolate and marshmallows. Oh, this man. Christmas, I didn't watch it. We were missing a part of the family.
Oh.
And I did not watch it this year.
Well, I'm not going to rain on that parade, but it is. I saw it for the first time like a year or two ago, which is shocking.
It is beautiful. That's one of my favorite. That's one of my faves. Axel was almost named Atreyu, I'll have you know.
No way.
Well, no, no way, according to my wife, exactly.
Oh, right.
But I'll tell you what, it was on my list.
Yeah. Well, you're Atreyu in my heart. Do you whisper, good night, Atreyu? Yeah. And he says, who?
Like, I think it did pretty good. His name is Axel Riku Perales. So, like, we ended up with a pretty good spot.
It's a pretty cool name,
know?
Dude.
Like, you know, the compromises name. Worked out. You know, pretty I didn't get Anakin, cool I didn't get Atreyu, I didn't get Orin, right. But I did end up with Axel.
That's a pretty good name, dude.
Yeah, I'm happy about it.
Great name for a race car driver, too, if he ever decides to go racing.
Like, whatever cool job he wants to get, I feel like he's got a leg up.
100%.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to see that on a resume and be like, Axel, what's this guy about? Bring him in.
Bring him in.
Let's chat.
Bring him in. I want to hear what this guy has to say.
Yeah, dude, he's got ideas. I know it.
This guy's going places.
He really is. He's a sweet, smart kid.
He's good. He's good times. Mm-hmm. He brought me
Makes
chocolate
apparently.
Somehow. not going to lie, it wasn't bad.
Well, there you go.
All right.
That's all I got for Dark Temple, man.
Dude, I would recommend this to anyone. The big takeaway from this for me is Eno and Sears' relationship.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because
that
like,
was great.
Yeah, because especially if you love them from the video game, like you love them, but you love them separately. Like in the video game, you get Eno through BD-1 and some of her stories, and then you get her through her relationship with Cal. But you don't get Eno and Seer together. You know what I mean? So this comic, it does deliver on that relationship much more than the game does. Which, if you're into that kind of stuff, this is for you. I should have said that before the spoilers, because now you already heard the whole story.
Yeah, well,
it is what it is.
It's been a while. It's a podcast. I will say...
I'm not a podcast doctor.
I may be a simple caveman. Frightened by your automobiles and television. But I will say, if you liked that game, look, I'm not going to beat around the bush. There's a lot of Star Wars tie-ins, merchandising stuff into sort of larger properties like video games and movies that are probably not worth your time. There's a lot. If you really liked Fallen Order, this is a really quick and enjoyable read. And I, like you said, I think it adds a really nice dimension to Cordova and to Seer, and gives them like deeper sort of insight into their characters and who they were. And I appreciated that.
Absolutely. All right, man. I think that's going to be a podcast. That is our comic book talk for the week.
Nice.
I don't know how to do a podcast. So I just go like, hey, the podcast is over. Is that a podcast? Hey.
Okay, bye.
We did it.